Thank you, Chancellor Wise. Can everybody hear me? Okay, great, great. Thank you very much. Let me first start by saying that we will be the preeminent public research university with a land-grant mission and a global impact. I'll say that again. We'll be the preeminent public research university with a land-grant mission and a global impact. That's our aspiration. That's a goal. That's the vision you have articulated for your university. It all really comes down to this. How can we be the best possible university? As we talk about preeminence here today, I want to be perfectly clear in how I hope we define it. We mean that we be the best at what we do. We want to be the best at what we choose to do. It's a matter of excellence in achievement. We'll be a university that leaves a mark on the world. We will have impact locally, nationally, and globally. We will be recognized by our peers as leaders. We will be visible to the nation and the world. This is the leadership expected from a world-class university with a land-grant mission. To make these aspirations a reality, we have to continue to differentiate ourselves and to distance ourselves from our peers. We need to focus on where we already have advantages and on where we need to reorganize ourselves to become even more better. The groundwork we've laid over the past few years has prepared us to begin moving and organizing right now. From your careful stewarding of resources and your innovations in processes and efforts to find new efficiencies, we have built a capacity for reinvestment in key strategic actions. It's a capacity we will augment through our advancement efforts, aggressively pursuing new support for programs and for people in the form of scholarships and faculty endowments. We are ready to act quickly and to act diligently and significantly. Your hard work has given us a head start on the competition. We intend to build on that lead. So where can we differentiate? How do we move from talking about preeminence to modeling it? We believe we can do so by focusing our efforts around a framework of three fundamental goals. First, we will foster scholarship, discovery, and innovation. These are the heart of Illinois. These are the elements expressed through our faculty and through our staff. We need to attract and to retain the intellectual human power to drive these elements. We need structures and processes that tie directly to and feed them. This is the future of the university. This is where it all starts for us all. Next, we will provide transformative learning experiences. With a solid academic core, we move outward to deliver on the fundamental promise of a public university. To teach students and to provide the educational experience that change lives. This is a transformative knowledge for the individual and collectively for the world in which they will live and work. And this is how we are going to recruit the very best and brightest students to Illinois. And finally, we will impact society. When you combine the core of discovery with transformative learning, the outcomes are no longer measured simply in degrees or in citations. They are seen in how the world is changed for the better through contact with this university. So these are the components of our plan. But we all know that planning only pays off when it is translated into actions. So let me show you where we've already begun to do just that, with examples of actions underway and ready to get underway in each of these three areas. The core component of a great university is a great faculty. I say that again. The core component of a great university is a great faculty. That's where we started in 1867. That is where we start today. We will rebuild our tenure system faculty. We will rebuild our tenure system faculty. We are going to recruit 500 new faculty over the next 5 to 7 years. This is 500 new minds and 500 new perspectives. We are going to recruit at a pace that we fill in annual losses and still get us back to about 2,020 online faculty. These diverse strategic hires in disciplines across the entire campus and in clusters of new expertise are a transformative opportunity as they join our ranks. This is how we bring in new energy, new perspectives, and how we ignite the scholarly creativity that is the hallmark of the best institutions. Next, we are providing more support for the arts and the humanities. These are critical areas of scholarship and teaching. The comprehensive university must be committed to and strong in these areas. And I know many of you out there are skeptical, maybe very skeptical, and thinking, he's an engineer. He's a science guy. Well, with apology to the scientists, we don't think engineers are scientists. I'm an engineer, yes, and I'm a science guy. You're right. But in my 26 years on this campus as an engineering professor, director of a lab, and the dean of the College of Engineering, I've seen that more broadly educated engineers are better ones. And I've seen how science and technology open new artistic horizons for students in the fine and applied arts. And I also know that the arts and the humanities are independent areas of inquiry and achievement in their own right that must be nurtured. Without top faculty in the arts and the humanities, we will not have broadly educated students with excellence in critical thinking and with strong analytical and problem-solving abilities, such as those we will watch graduate next month. We know well that external funding for research and scholarship in the humanities and in the arts is very limited and indeed extremely competitive. I would like to stress here today that we are committed to addressing the issues in these areas with significant institutional support. Our Humanities and Arts Scholar Support Program, or HAS for short, is one way we do this already. And I'm announcing right here and now that we're increasing HAS funding to individuals by 50% this fall. This is just one small but the first step in demonstrating our ongoing commitment to research excellence in these areas. We are convening two new campus-wide working groups, one in the humanities and one in the arts, to support new and renewed initiatives in both areas. This will be established this fall to make strategic recommendations for substantial research support to be funded by my office and by the Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research. A third example is found in how we will enhance the support for grant writing and proposal construction. Resources to help faculty with grant proposals are uneven across the campus. We are going to change that. We are creating a large proposal preparation service through the Office of the Vice Chancellor for Research to assist in writing and winning large multi-investigator and center grants. We want faculty to concentrate on scholarship, not paperwork and processes. The first element of this service will be in place this fall. We are moving to help colleges build grant infrastructure support closer to where faculty need it. We're already piloting this in LAS through supporting staff positions to help with proposal preparation, right now largely in the social sciences and humanities all across those disciplines. You told us one of the challenges to interdisciplinary scholarship is simply knowing what expertise we have on the campus. You said we need better ways to find partners across disciplines and for external collaborators to find us. The Vice Chancellor for Research will launch a public database of faculty expertise in this coming academic year. These are just a few early examples of how we are moving to support your work and your capacity for scholarship. They are the starting points. And again, here are two of our next steps. This fall, we will begin implementing the new campus-wide indirect cost recovery. For you who don't know that, this is that three-letter word called ICR. Okay. To implement a new ICR policy that has been written and approved by the deans. We have a system that lets our overhead money flow in understandable, logical, and transparent ways, no matter where work is done. For the first time, we'll have a policy that lets a faculty work where it will be most productive for their research. We are ready to institute a regular and consistent system for academic program review across the entire campus. Let me say that again. We are ready to institute a regular and consistent system for academic program review across the campus. We are going to provide our departments and colleges functional and useful methods to gauge their effectiveness and to identify areas where they can continue to improve. We are piloting this review with three departments in the fall. So these are some of the first steps we have taken to recruit, hire, and retain the best faculty and the best staff at Illinois. These are building the foundation that will allow us to provide transformative learning experiences to students. To do this, we are going to define what we mean when we talk about Illinois experience for undergraduate and graduate students. What will it be? How will it be delivered? What is its future? These are the questions that will drive our strategies in this area. But one thing we do know is that transformative learning begins with transformative teaching. So among the first things we are doing is creating a single, visible campus-level office to support excellence in teaching. We are integrating campus-level teaching support resources that, until now, have been spread across units into a single home. The new center will support teaching in all of its forms and act as a catalyst for exploring learning innovations. This will directly and positively impact students, graduate, and undergraduate. And it will be across the campus, across every unit. This center will be in place this fall. We're enhancing the undergraduate research experience. It's a direct result of what students and faculty have demanded. We've expanded access to and the quality of research opportunities for undergraduates. We have committed to this with the new Office of Undergraduate Research. We are already seeing an impact. We had an 85% one-year increase in student presentations in last week's undergraduate research symposium. We are transforming our classrooms to meet the demands of a 21st century educational experience. over the next 5 to 6 years. We will invest $70 million in classroom renovations. We can't honestly promise a 21st century experience when we put our students and faculty in classrooms of the 1940s and the 1950s. From tiles to technology, we will upgrade our learning spaces to be among the best in the nation. 110 classrooms will be transformed in a massive investment that will have immediate impact for students today and for years to come. So what are next steps to be in providing transformative learning experiences? As I said, we are really defining the future of undergraduate and graduate education, both here at Illinois and nationally. That isn't just limited to how we teach and what our classrooms look like. It goes to how we shape our community of students and how we prepare them to be global citizens. We are going to create a truly integrated global perspective within our learning experiences. We need to leverage both our on-campus resources and our global networks in ways that tie directly to students' needs. We have growing relationships with institutions in nations around the world. How do we leverage this to provide our students with more international experiences, and how do we pursue new ones to our best advantage? On our campus, we have the largest population of international students. How can that community be integrated into this global teaching and learning process we seek to create? And just as we are trying to use that international diversity to improve learning, we need to establish an environment that is comprehensively diverse in every definition, culturally, ethnically, and philosophically. Our campus has to be a place that mirrors the world around us. And it has to be one that academically prepares students for the challenges of the international workforce. We have to consider whether our gen ed or general education courses, as we now organize and deliver them, meet the needs of a 21st century learning environment. Are these offering the skills and knowledge our undergraduates need to have lives of impact? And if not, how do we go about teaching them? That's a question for all of us to ponder. Obviously, these are neither easy questions nor small issues, but they are ones we must face and ones that we will actively address in this next year. So we are reinforcing our faculty and staff core and transforming the learning experiences for our students. These are investments that will lead to an impact on our society. Through Vision in Future Excellence, we've defined the grand societal challenges of the next 20 to 50 years. The areas where we collectively believe we can have an impact on the world. Here are several steps we are taking now to position ourselves to deliver on that expectation. We will use cluster hiring programs to bring faculty to campus around some of the 6 themes. I say that again. We will use cluster hiring programs to bring faculty to campus around some of those 6 themes. These will come with our 500 faculty recruiting goal I've mentioned earlier. New faces also mean new perspectives, and they bring us new openings into new collaborative networks. Cluster hires offer the ability to quickly build critical mass in targeted areas. We will create more novel structures for interdisciplinary scholarship. The big solutions for grand challenges are going to come from collaborations across the institution and around the world. We need to organize in ways to let this collaboration flow seamlessly and fluidly. We need to think about how this will look for a new century. when we are not likely to build new physical infrastructures to support collaboration. We are designing new, more agile, and flexible ways of collaborating. We are going to create virtual centers that will let us leverage every expertise of the campus. They will let our faculty work in ways most productive for them. These centers offer the ability to move in and out of the groups depending on faculty needs and the group's goals. They increase our capacity to win external funding, private and public, while raising our national profile. We have two of these virtual centers forming now, with a third one in the planning stage. And we are working through the Academic Senate to ensure that these new structures are once consistent with our governing principles. The first of these new ventures is the Center for a Sustainable Environment. Established this spring, we expect it to quickly evolve into the Institute of Sustainability, Energy, and Environment, with support from a major private gift. This is an area where existing campus expertise was already aligned with the desire of a donor, and we could move quickly. This is what we mean by strategic opportunism. Another area of these emerging centers come from the Vision in Future Excellence theme of health and wellness, including and expanding upon the Division of Biomedical Sciences. We anticipate the development of an interdisciplinary health sciences institute. This new center will be an example of how we are mining existing but distributed campus expertise in a novel way to establish a critical mass in a vital area. We are also going to build on the work of the Social and Behavioral Sciences Research Committee to strengthen and empower that community in a similar way. This fall, we will charge that group to develop a roadmap leading to a new social sciences research institute to be established in the very near future. And we will naturally include the arts and the humanities in the hiring organized around the grand challenges. Their perspectives must inform our approaches to all of these challenges. I want to stress that these new interdisciplinary centers are organizing around the grand societal challenges we've identified together, not around a college or a discipline. These are campus institutes, and we expect that every student and every faculty member will have opportunities to participate in them. So what are some next steps we'll take to ensure we have a societal impact? We need to focus on building new and expanding existing global partnerships, both academic and research, and to expand our world footprint and enhance our international presence. We need to continue to organize our engagement, outreach, and technology transfer activities in ways that foster measurable local and state economic development. We're a major economic force, directly and indirectly. We need to find ways to translate our research and our teaching, when appropriate, into real dollars for our state. And when it comes to making a societal impact, we need to look at everything we do, from our scholarship to our teaching to our structural organization, and we need to be certain that all of it ties back to our students. All of it ties back to our students. We have a responsibility to prepare them as the leaders of their generation and to see that they have the knowledge, tools, and skills to face the challenges of their world. We have to organize ourselves in every sense for excellence. These steps I've talked about today, they're clearly just a beginning and a sampling of the actions that are going to come out of the campus planning efforts. As we go forward, we are going to have to ask, really, have to ask ourselves honestly, how should we be organizing ourselves for success, both academically and structurally? Are we assembling ourselves in the best possible way to find real solutions to these grand challenges? Are the basic resources and investments for grand accomplishments in place? Will we be flexible enough to quickly adjust and seize new opportunities and explore emerging fields? And we have to be honestly prepared to reorganize ourselves as we answer those questions. We have to be able to say and to prove that we have aligned our university to the needs of our students and of our society. We've been working closely with the deans and with their guidance. We have articulated a set of principles to guide any realignment or restructuring we might undertake. First, we'll take such actions only in the best interest of the institution and our students. Second, they will enhance intellectual synergies and enhance our impact. Third, we will put forward a public and transparent purpose for action, and we'll act within the system of our system of shared governance. And finally, our policies for realignment and reorganization will be uniform and consistently apply to all. We are talking about organizing for impact. That's what we should be about. We are talking about organizing for excellence. That is what we should be about. And when we undertake such actions, we will do so with your participation and with your guidance. I want to get back to where this discussion began today. Everything we've talked about, these plans we're establishing together, and the steps we are already implementing are a road to excellence and preeminence. We are focused on making the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign more competitive and to ensure that 20 years hence and 50 years hence, when the landscape of great universities are drawn, we are the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Is on the leading edge of it. Thank you. I'll come back to the podium.